Okay. That'd be great.
Sounds.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for, you know, being early birds this morning, waking up with me, and we're going to be having a wonderful show today. My special guest, Victoria Rao. She's an extraordinary actress, author now. She has two books under her belt, and today we're going to be talking about her new book, Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva. And let me just read a little bit from the book this morning. There he was, my soap opera perfect bull, all 6 foot two of him, insanely handsome with his Gucci silk shirt, half unbuttoned, showing off his eight-pack, a bottle of champagne in his fist. Got here fast, I greeted him. Said it was important, he replied, kicking the door shut, his masculine arms wrapping around my waist, molding my body into his. Well, if you want to read more, you got to pick up the book, Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva, and the website is secretsofasoapoperadiva.com. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. What a great introduction. Woo! Well, as you know, I'm on my whirlwind book tour for Simon & Schuster Atria, and I've flew in from Connecticut last night, and now I'm in Atlanta.
Woohoo! And you're going to be having a book signing tonight, yes?
That's correct. At 5 p.m., I will be at the Camp Creek Marketplace, Barnes & Noble, at 5 o'clock, and I will be there with my boa feathers, my bells on, and I hope everybody will come out with their biggest lashes, their biggest hair, sequins, boa feathers. Let's rock and party.
Woo-hoo!
And I should also mention that we're going to have an after party at Paragon Salon. I can give you more information on that location, but the book signing will be from 5 to 7, and then right after that we'll be having a fabulous, fabulous time at the Paragon Salon. And it's not only going to be about my book, but it's going to be about bringing attention to the Nasoro Foundation, which is a local foundation, and I hope everybody will come out.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I hope they come out too, because the book is wonderful and hilarious and funny, but also serious at the same time. You did a wonderful job. There's a lot of connections I did see from your first book, your memoir, to this, certain little notes I remember seeing in your memoir about trying to get to ballet class and the nun was chasing after you. And then there's a scene in, go ahead.
No. There are similarities, but before we went any further, I wanted to make sure all of our friends and fans knew where Paragon Salon is located, and it's 855 Peachtree Street.
855 Peachtree Street.
Okay. Street, Suite 1B. We're on the second floor. And it was the most fabulous hair salon in all of Atlanta. Twirl, twirl, twirl on that one, shall we? And we will have we'll have champagne flowing. We'll have Barnes & Noble here selling books. There's going to be big hair, bubbles, and boa feathers here. That is the after party tonight, okay?
Wonderful, wonderful. So if you're out there in Atlanta and you don't make it to Paradigm, you're going to be a great loss because it sounds like they're going to have a wonderful party. A wonderful book signing beforehand. Please go out and support Victoria Rao and her new endeavor with Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva. The website
and
is Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva. And also foster care. May is Foster Care Awareness Month.
That's also what we're doing here at the Paragon Salon. My book signings aren't just about selling books. My books are about social consciousness as well. And so while I'm crisscrossing the country, and I want to thank everybody out there that's downloaded it on Kindle, purchased a book or three, and all the folks that are coming out today to the Barnes & Noble Camp Creek location here in Atlanta, but also following me over to Paragon Salon. Everyone's invited. It's from 7 to 11 p.m., and we're also bringing attention to foster care awareness, mentoring, and education, the Raoul Foster Children's Positive Plan, as well as the Nasoro Foundation. So I'm so proud that Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva is about bigger messaging.
Oh, definitely. I think in your book you talk a lot about the racism that's going on in the industry, the sexism that's going on in the industry, and those are all very important issues. Your website is RaoulFosterChildren.org. Again, that's RaoulFosterChildren.org. Also, Victoria has her own website, which is VictoriaRaoul.com. But I think what I find most interesting in your memoir as a foster child, talk to us just about the issues of separation and having to say goodbye. What are some things you could tell foster children out there who are dealing with that issue of separation and having to say goodbye?
Well, I was fortunate. And by the way, I have to do a shout-out to Oprah. Oprah, thank you for giving me a thumbs up in O Magazine during the month of May. You know, the Big O is so amazing. Her timing is impeccable. She couldn't have picked a better month. Obviously, she knows that May is National Foster Care Awareness Month. So I got a thumbs up. Even though the book came out 3 years ago, Oprah, O Magazine, has given the Women Who Raised Me a thumbs up. And so I'm very, very proud of that. But in terms of the separation, of course, I was placed with a foster mother immediately, right from the hospital. My separation came, interestingly enough, when I went off to study classical ballet as I received a full scholarship, and hence there were other families that were supporting that effort, and so the goodbyes and were very, very painful for me, and so to all the foster youth out there, we're 500,000 strong. Many of us are in group homes. There are 100,000 of us available for adoption right now. I make it my business to know as much information as possible as a national spokesperson for the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Casey Family Services. I always looked at it and as a journey. And I think if we can look at it as being on a path, and a path to something greater, we can get through the tough times, because there are tough times and there will always be tough times. That's just life. Mm-hmm. But if we could just look at our circumstance, not as a victimization, but that the circumstance being a corner of our strength, we're going to be all right.
Definitely. I want to read a little bit just from your first book. This was a poem, The Gift. It says, "We drove around to the old farm where we used to go in the summer with the children. We were just wondering who lived there now. We stopped in the yard, and the little child came to us from the house clutching a piece of paper on which were drawn crude child sketches, and she laid them in my hand and said, 'This is for you because I love you.' She had never seen me before. Her skin was darker than mine, not of my race, that little girl. But the faith and trust that I loved her too and would cherish her gift shone in that little face like a precious pearl." I won't continue, but if you want to read more of the poem, you need to pick up her book, The Woman Who Raised Me, Victoria Rao. But that was very wonderful, that moment, and just how much love can happen in an instant. And for you, love did happen several years ago, yes?
Yes. That was a very significant moment. That was Esther Bird Dolliver, and she resonates with me. All the women who raised me resonate with me, because I feel like they have created this quilt that I've wrapped myself in, all of their wisdom and humor. And foster children aren't typically in anyone's inheritance, per se, but I received a very rich inheritance. And it's not necessarily tangible, but it is in me. We don't get the silver, but I got the gold.
I think you were so fortunate.
In knowing all of these women.
Yes, mm-hmm. They definitely seem to touch your life, and they've produced a wonderful, if you want to say, human being. You are doing wonderful work helping children in foster care. Again, I want to mention your website, RaoulFosterChildren.org. Also, don't forget about her new book, Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva.com. So this book signing, like you said, is not just about books, but helping raise awareness. There are so many children. Let me ask you, how do you feel about a lot of these stars adopting children from Africa and not adopting maybe children here in America and the States? What's your opinion about that?
Oh, you know, I don't judge that. I don't judge that any more than I judge UNICEF or CARE or any of our faith-based groups digging wells in Africa, India, around the world. You know, there's all kinds of relief. Doctors Without Borders, American doctors are always overseas. So let's get real on that tip. You know, we live in a world. I just want to finish this point. We live in a world, and so we are all God's children. And who are we to discern where a person finds the synergy between one heart to another? So that, to me, is, you know, knock yourself out. Thank God someone is taking these Haitian children who are you know, withstanding the burden of catastrophe. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay, yeah,
great.
That's what I wanted
I'm
to
I'm so happy
connection.
That child isn't left in a crib somewhere. I'm grateful. Yes, we have children here. No one's disputing that fact. That is well documented. But any child that receives love from anybody that is willing to raise a child with love, patience, dignity, real estate of heart and home, I am all for it, and I thank you.
Oh, definitely. I think that's the point definitely with the poem also, is that you can find love in all sorts of places all around the globe, and it doesn't matter the color of the skin or, you know, where they are, because they need help. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter.
Exactly,
so.
And that was such an issue here when I was growing up in foster care. You know, I was removed from the family that was non-black. I was removed from that family because at that time the laws dictated that you had to match your race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was antiquated. It's done away with now. It still is not completely gone, we know.
Yeah, I mean, people still feel
still
like they should be. Yeah, unfortunately. Let me also mention that your book was an Essence Book Club pick. You have won 11 NAACP Image Awards. You've been nominated 2 times for an Emmy. How do you feel the Quilt of Women helped you gain all those things and recognition?
Oh, you know, thank you for mentioning. It all came about because we all work together. None of us achieve success alone. I think one of the biggest factors in my life was that I had strong mentors, and they were consistently there for me. And I did my part too. I would show up. I would practice reciprocity. I did my part. I didn't miss class. I studied hard, and I knew that this was my gateway, and I respected them as much as I respected my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get an opportunity, you have to exercise it, because trust and believe, there's a very, very long line behind you that wishes they had your position. So you better take advantage of it and hold it in high esteem. And pray, be grateful. And pass it forward and help someone next to you. Don't just take it and run off. Help someone next to you, not only when you achieve success, but while you're attempting to achieve success.
I think I always mention that on my show, is that the more you give, the more you receive, actually, in a sense. And when you're down, it's time to probably reach out to someone, because then you also get your energy back. It may seem hard, but that's been my experience. Helping people, it doesn't even matter. Even if you just give somebody a compliment one day, you know, you don't know how that would affect a person and change their outlook or their future just by making,
absolutely,
you look beautiful today. You know, if you don't have a lot of money.
We want everyone to understand not to self-edit. Don't self-edit. If you can think it, we need it. And so if you can't be an adoptive parent or you can't be a foster parent, then perhaps you'll consider being a big brother, big sister. Perhaps you could be a respite caregiver. And perhaps you will become licensed, and take in a child or sibling group for a weekend. That's what respite caregivers do, so that the primary foster parents can rest, essentially. Or you can consider become a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate. Those are lay people that train and represent the children in the court and find help in assisting with finding a safe and loving family. So CASAs are very, very important. And there's a whole host of ways that you can interact
with
the foster care system. And we have our emancipated foster youth who need so much help. At the age of 18, we have over 30,000 youth emancipating every year out of foster care. And I don't want to tell you where most of that population goes, but I will tell you a lot of us are in college, and a lot of us are getting the four-year ride because we've worked hard, or we're at Juilliard, or we're at American Ballet Theatre, and we need a mentor. We need someone to take us out on the weekends, and we need some place to go for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So please don't hesitate in calling administration offices at your local universities and colleges and asking, is there someone, is there a young man, is there a young lady? Right here, Spelman, Morehouse, is there someone who we can...
Who needs your help, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to take a caller here, okay?
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you guys?
Good, thank you for calling in.
Absolutely. I have a question for Ms. Rao.
Go ahead. Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Okay, excellent.
Hi, and I'm coming to Chi-Town with Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva this summer.
And where are you going to be appearing?
We're ironing all of that out, but I'll be coming out and I'll be tweeting at Victoria Rowell. That's my tweet address.
Fantastic.
You can also check out her website, Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva, and look for her upcoming tour dates. But what was your question? Go ahead.
Yes, Victoria, I've been a fan of yours for years, and
thank
by
you.
Me being a male, I guess I enjoy the soaps as well as anyone else. And my question for you is, has there ever been a co-star of yours that you ended up having some type of feelings for, especially when you were doing some of those hot scenes?
That's such a fun question. That is such a fun question. And by the way, check out CNN News with T.J. Holmes at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be live. But I have to say that in order for the scene to really be organic, it works better if you do have some kind of chemistry with the actor you're working opposite. I certainly worked with actors where, male and female, where there's no chemistry. You have to try to find a way to work, to make it work. But I loved working with Christoph St. John as my TV husband. And he's been my TV husband for 17 years.
Mm.
So he's my TV husband. And then, of course, and he's so much fun. He's hilarious. He's a prankster. And so he always does something funny and kooky when we have the bed scenes. And then, of course, Shamar Moore was an absolute dish. He was an absolute deep dish wonder with our wonderful romantic scenes. So both men were fabulous as TV, either husband or paramours. Yeah, absolutely, I had a lot of fun. And then, of course, I had bed scenes with Samuel L. Jackson in Home of the Brave. I had to kiss Eddie Murphy. I had to kiss Will Smith. I mean, hey, look, I got a lot of fun in my career.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Well, it sounds to me like they had a lot of fun, too. It takes
oh, yes,
to
they did.
Thank
you so
much for taking my call, Joy. And you guys have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is so funny. I guess a lot of people always wonder, like, did she really like kissing him? You know, I've done some acting myself, and I agree with you that there has to be some chemistry, and it helps, you know, keep things going.
Absolutely, and I write about that, of course, in Secrets of the Soap Opera Diva. What I did was I amassed a tremendous amount of fan mail, and I wanted to answer a lot of the questions, and that's why the book is rooted in behind the scenes, and that's why Essence.com is running 26 of my behind the scenes webisodes. So I want to encourage all of our podcast supporters to log on to Essence.com, and they've taken out a fabulous full page ad of the book in their June issue with Taraji P. Henson on
yes,
the cover.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm, I saw that.
The Soap Opera Diva, and I'll be at the Essence Festival too.
Now, in the book, let's get back to the issue of the racism in the industry and how the character was fighting to get the award, nominated umpteen million times, and still didn't get, you know, the coveted Emmy award. How do people in the industry deal with that in terms of, you know, Latino actresses and African-American actresses, Asian actresses who are doing wonderful work on screen and yet not being recognized by the mainstream award?
You know, and I want to do a shout out to Tashina Arnold and everyone, Chris. I mean, Tashina deserves an Emmy so many times over. And quite frankly, I was disappointed that Wendy Williams and Monique weren't nominated. Monique's primetime. I'm sorry, Wendy Williams for a daytime Emmy. I don't believe Debbie Morgan or Darnell were on the daytime Emmy ballot, were they?
No, I'm not aware of that, no.
How do we deal with it? We have to keep stepping.
Yeah.
You know, we have to keep stepping because I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and asked me, how is it that you have 12 NAACP Image Awards and not one Emmy? This is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it is possible. And if you look at the statistics, if you look at the history and understand that we are woefully underrated and underappreciated. However, that doesn't mean that you quit. You have to have tenure to have a voice. And for me, I've never been led by awards. I appreciate the awards. I appreciate the nominations. But for me to quit based upon bad behavior, disparity, it just does not set up the next generation. And that's a big, big agenda for me. Not only collecting a check and doing the work to the best of my ability, but setting up, let's say, The Young and the Restless for the next generation. And it's of great concern to me that our show is number one, cutting edge, 37 years on the air,
mm-hmm.
At number one for 17 years, and we still don't have a black writer, that
yeah.
we still don't have black hair and makeup, a black producer, a black director, when the predominant audience for The Young and the Restless are African Americans. I mean, why are we licensed on the continent of Africa and India and showing three times in the Caribbean? And
but you don't have the background people
in
to help.
The Middle East. Yet we don't have black or brown, Asian, Native American, to my knowledge, to the degree that we should see them. There should be an equitable share of positions filled by people of color, in my opinion, behind
mm-hmm.
the lens as well as in front of the lens. And until we see that, we're not color television and we're still out of focus.
Let me read something from your book, Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva. It says, I am not done, I snapped. As much as you pay Danny Boy here to keep it out of the press, this soap is huge in black households, yet there's barely a black storyline on the page, let alone anyone of color on the stage. If the fans only knew how I had to pull tooth and nail to get the basics while you all scandalously line up your pockets with sponsorship dollars, cheese for the camera, and collect yet another NAACP Image Award, which clearly you don't display in your offices, only the sudsies. Diversity, my butt. Josephine Mansour is asleep at the wheel. I mean, that's what you're talking about here is that, you know, I mean, in the book you talk about having to have your own hair, getting your own costumes. Did that really happen?
Yes. Well, yes, because if you don't have a black hairstylist, then you have to hightail it to our neighborhood to get it
mm-hmm.
done. I personally would bring in my own hairstylist. He was non-union, but the producers looked the other way. They liked what they saw, but they weren't paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually got a hairstylist, but she could not stay because she needed medical benefits, understandably, and she's gone on to do bigger things. But it's incumbent upon a show of this stature to really look at the statistics and honor the audience that keeps it at number one, which is the African-American audience. That's a scientific
mm-hmm.
measurement. And Sony Picture Television owns the show, the predominant share of the show. And I think it's an honest ask. It's a reasonable ask. And I think that in time, at high time, it be adhered to.
Now,
there
one of the other things,
of qualified people out there that
oh, definitely.
Would love the opportunity to write, to do hair and makeup, to produce, to certainly direct the show. And I, for one, have offered my services, and they have been declined.
Wow. Well, one of the other things you also talk about is how they're making your skin lighter and darker depending on the scene or the situation. I mean, that's
yes.
just crazy. I mean, that's just mind-boggling that they would do that in this day and age.
It is mind-boggling. I came upon that when the fans, when I would go on the road, they would say to me, Vicki, we thought you were much, much darker. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it happened, I mean, no, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, because I've always been on the road, either behind foster care or doing a personal appearance. And I began to beg the question, why are people asking me this? And
mm-hmm.
I was told, and the name will remain nameless, but in sweetening, which is where they do the editing, they actually can control the hue, and the lighting can be manipulated, and I found that fascinating. So,
wow.
You know, it was just a fascinating piece of information I received. So on that note, I'm looking at the clock. Tick down. Are there
yes.
any more questions out there?
Well, the audience in the chat room, people were saying they didn't think about being a foster parent, but they would think about adopting a child for Thanksgiving or a college student. So that was a wonderful idea. I also want to let you know, I have a friend. His name is Thomas, and I promised I would tell you he has always been in love with you, and he's very happy that you have found love. He has a beautiful, beautiful wife, but he did want to say that he's been a fan for a long time. So, Thomas, I just want to let you know, I did tell her you said hello.
Well, thank you
and
very much.
I also want to, again, mention your website, secretsofasoapoperadiva.com. Also, please go and support her foundation, RaoulFosterChildren.org, and also check out the webisodes on Essence.com. Again, thank you so, so much for calling in this morning.
I want to thank you. I want to remind everyone who's participating in the podcast to show up to the Barnes & Noble Camp Creek in Atlanta tonight at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7. We're going to have fun. And then follow me over to Paragon Salon on Peachtree Street, and that's from 7 to 11. Come get yourself a glass of Moet and Chandon and buy a book.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ms. Rao, for coming on, and have a wonderful book signing and wonderful after party.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you to the listeners for listening this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. You can also become a fan on Facebook. So don't forget to pick up Secrets of a Soap Opera Diva by Victoria Rao. You're going to love it. You're not going to be able to put it down. You're probably going to finish it, and if not a day, at least over the weekend. Please don't read it while you're at work or while you're driving, but please pick up a copy. Also pick up her previous book, The Woman Who Raised Me, a wonderful, sensitive memoir just about her life and her struggles and also her successes and why she is where she is right now, fighting for equality in the industry and also fighting for children who need support, mentorship. Again, as she mentioned, even if you don't have maybe a whole month or a year to give a child, you can maybe give a weekend to a child, a Thanksgiving to a child, a Christmas to a child, or just taking them out to the museum. So please don't forget to reach out to the children in your area. Or if you're abroad and you're listening to the show, please reach out to your local agencies. There are lots of children who need help and support. Again, don't forget to follow me on twitter.com/joykeys and become a fan on Facebook. Also, tune in at 11 a.m. Eastern today. Again, 11 a.m. Eastern today, we're doing a show about black marriages. Yes, there are some wonderful black marriages out there, and we're going to talk about them today at 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you so much.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUsKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.